Empower Radio presents Welcome to Blissville with the Bliss Lady, Terry Williams. Get ready to connect with inspiring, motivating, enlightening, and joyful guests who are following their bliss. Now, here's your host, Terry Williams.
Oh boy, we've got the big gun in the studio today. Brent Carey, Empower Radio's founder, is in the studio producing my show, so I am really going to be on my toes. Joining me today is truly an earth angel and a being of love, as far as I'm concerned, sacred geometry and energy medicine developer, Elaine Grohman. We're going to chat with Elaine about angel stuff, including her beautiful new book, Spirit Awakening, Wisdom for Life and Living. Welcome to Blissville, Elaine.
Thank you, Terry. It's a pleasure to be on your show.
Oh, my God. This book, to me, this book is bliss. This is really what life is about. It's about love and joy and peace. And every message that you bring forth speaks to me. It's absolutely beautiful. Thank you for bringing it out.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's, you know, it's my hope to be able to have it really touch people's lives, and I'm getting feedback already, and it's only been a little over a week since it's been out, so it's been great. Wonderful.
Well, I had the honor to be at your launch at the Royal Oak Music Studio, and you read a couple chapters, and as you were reading, I was in tears. I thought, gosh, you know, this is something that everybody needs to hear, and I'm honored to have you share some of the messages that are in it. So let's tell the listeners a little bit about your background and how you came to put this all together.
Well, I would love to. Originally, my background was not as a healer or an angel reader. My background was actually as an artist. And for years, I had my own design business and was actively seeking that as my career and had done it fairly well. And then one day, my life completely changed, Terry, when I was with a dear family member who was dying, and I felt her spirit leave her body. Mm. And it was so impactful to me that literally, this was my aunt, and she was had been signed on to hospice care and was in her own home where she and her family wanted her to die. And on this one day, it was very close to the end, and I just went there to help in any way that I could. And she was at that point essentially comatose. And I just held her hand and thanked her for everything. They always say that your hearing is the last call. So I thought, well, gosh, you know, at least she'll hear what I'm saying. And, you know, I just thanked her for everything that she had done for us and, you know, throughout our lives as a family. And literally, Terry, it was a moment that changed my life. She went from completely comatose to looking at me and said, I see my sister. And I said, then you need, you need to go to her, darling, because she's going to take good care of you. And she closed her eyes, and I felt this, literally this whooshing feeling in the room. Well, that sister, Terry, was my mother who had died when I was 13 years old. And that had been 27 years before that.
And
this was my, they were the only females in their family, so it was her only sister. So there was no denying who it was that she was seeing. And so she died 2 days later, and actually at the funeral, I spoke about that experience because it was so impactful to me. I couldn't get it out of my mind that I had felt this feeling. And eventually what it did was it brought me to be a hospice volunteer, and at the same time I started to study energy medicine.
So, and so you weren't really frightened of it. You embraced it as an opportunity to move forward.
Yeah, and I, you know, I had a lot of losses in my life when I was a young kid. I had, I'm originally number 7 of 9 children, and when I was 12, our 15-year-old brother died, and 14 months later, our mother died very unexpectedly. So there was 8 surviving kids, and this was actually in 1968 and 1969, respectfully. And back at that time, no one talked to a child about their grief. And so my way of dealing with my grief was, thankfully, where I lived, there was a lot of nature around me, and I would just go out in nature and talk to God and talk to the angels. And I was raised Irish Catholic. You know, I was raised Roman Catholic, so, you know, you always pray to the angels. So I thought, well, this is my time. I really need them. So I hope they better be listening.
Well, I'm right there with you as an Irish Catholic girl and all the things that we weren't taught. And you're absolutely right. Dealing with grief wasn't one of those things.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, that was, and I have to say, though, Terry, I really have to give so much of the credit to my mother, because she was an extraordinary human being. And I just say, I've said it a million times, and I'll say it a million more. I thank God I had her for, even though it was only 13 short years, I thank God I had her. Because she was such a light. She was a brilliant woman. And she was probably, she was definitely a healer. But she would not have used that term. You know, she was just a naturally inclusive person. In fact, her funeral was so large, it was the second largest funeral in the history of our city. The first, first one was my brother.
It was, oh, my gosh. Well, you must, I mean, it's no wonder that you're writing about love.
Yeah, because that's what we were taught. We literally were taught how to love one another. And it was from my mother's living example. And that is really what all, with her being irrevocably gone physically from my life, I knew that she was around me. I could feel her around me after her death, and it was a comfort to me. It was so much a comfort to me. So I realized when I was younger, well, I should say I didn't realize until I was older, that what I saw as a child, I could see energy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just assumed everybody saw the same thing. You know, you wouldn't ask, gee, do you see that red apple there? You would imagine everyone would see the same apple you're looking at.
Right.
You know? So it was not something that I naturally inquired to other people until I really started to feel it. And when I really felt it was when I was in hospice care.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My father died 16 years ago, and I had just, maybe the for the 4 years prior to his death, I had really started to tune in to energy and energy healing and spirits and that kind of thing. And I'm the youngest of six, and my family thinks I am totally off the wall, and it's okay. I embrace that. But I remember when my father died, and going to the funeral, everybody was so shocked that I was so calm and rational about it. And I knew before he died that he was going to die. Right. And I, you know, I knew the night that he died that that was it for him. And I, like you, felt his presence. And I know to this day that he's always with me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and that is what is really what prompted me to write both my first and my second book, was to help people understand we're not alone. We have never been alone. We will never be alone. And, you know, but we have been so taught that we have to be independent, that we have forgotten how to rely on one another. We have forgotten to rely on nature, on the divine beings that are around us. We've just kind of separate ourselves from ourselves. And that is what's caused so much emotional, physical, and spiritual distress in humanity.
Well, we've become completely disconnected from love, which is what your focus is. Okay, so let's talk about spirit awakening. You, in the book, you present a message, which are your angel messages, basically what you've gotten guidance on either before angelic readings or in other various aspects. And you also relate a story or something that has happened with you, your clients, or a loved one that makes it so relatable for anyone.
That was my hope, Terry. It was really my hope to let people know that, yes, I get divine messages, but we all do. And you're right that each one of the chapters begin with what I call now a spirit message. In my first book, The Angels and Me, I always called it an angel message, but now I call it spirit because spirit is inclusive of all things. And so that's why I wanted to use the word spirit, because also the word spirit implies our own personhood, our own part of the divine that we are intimately connected with, rather than thinking of a spirit as something other than ourselves. So So it kind of is twofold. And that's what I really wanted to do was to, you're correct, and when I got these messages, it would always be before I would do what I call audience angel readings, which is a group reading situation. Mm-hmm. And always that day I would sit down and write whatever message the creation wanted me to write. And I would start the group reading with reading that message. And what I wanted to do then is to relay the meaning of each one of these messages in a real life situation so that people could see, first read the message and then see how it relates to a real life.
Mm-hmm.
So that they could see that this is a part of their life too.
Hmm. And then how did you decide on what messages that you were going to include? Because you must have hundreds of messages.
Well, whenever I would write a message down that they gave to me, I would just print it out and keep it in a book. So then I had an ongoing, literally a file of messages.
Mm.
So I would just take the ones, I took the ones and which seemed the most appropriate for whatever it is that I was writing about. You know, so it was real, well, actually I should say it was the message itself that spawned the stories. But I would always ask, you know, what is it you want me to write about today?
Mm-hmm.
So that whether it was something that they would use an example in my own life or in someone else's life that I was working with, or even in history, in my family history. So mm-hmm. that, because I think that what's so important, Terry, for us to understand is we are the product of the people that raise us. So if we don't look at their life and we just look at them as our parent, as this individual of authority, then we really don't know that person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to know everyone has frailties, everyone has difficulties, and no parent is perfect. So then we can start to see each other as the human frail beings that we are, but also the human dynamic beings that we are.
So we can begin to live more through compassion and acceptance and then honor each individual being.
Exactly. Exactly.
And well, I thought it was beautiful that there's 47 different chapters. And, you know, I like to devour books when I get them, mm-hmm. but I also look at this as something that I can divinely tune myself into and kind of open at random, and I know that that message will speak to me. The first one that I opened when I grabbed the book last week was about the holidays and really embracing the holidays as a year-round spirit instead of just one holiday, right. And the focus of love. And that's how I feel that it could really be useful in my life.
Yes. That's the one thing that so many people, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because so many people said, you know, I use this book almost as a daily meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and my first book also, The Angels and Me, and it was really an intention that you didn't have to sit down and read it as if it was a story. You know, a continuation of a historical story, although it is, they're all truthful stories. They've all happened to people. But what it is if you sometimes just need 5 minutes to collect your thoughts in the day, this is a wonderful way to do it, because then it helps your own spirit to awaken.
Yeah, and each chapter can be read in less than 5 minutes, so it could become a powerful 5-minute meditation. I'm really big on telling my clients that you can meditate in a minute's time.
Absolutely.
And this is just a perfect example of how you can totally tune in and still get a message as well.
Well, that, you know, what I tried to do, Terry, is I wanted to show individual experiences with interpersonal relationships, but also our connection to nature. So you may have read some of the chapters where I talk about, you know, these beautiful owls that invited me outside to speak to me.
I mean, I loved that story.
It was magical. I mean, I was transfixed. I was absolutely transfixed mm-hmm. by, in the freezing cold, trying to talk to these owls that were literally soothing me in ways that I didn't even comprehend.
Mm.
But it was when I came back in, all the tension that I had been feeling was gone, completely gone. And it had to happen outdoors. And it had to happen with something that was so mysterious as a beautiful owl in the night. You know, it was such an incredible thing. And we forget that we're supported by nature. Everything in our life is supported by nature.
Oh, and how symbolic as an owl that, you know, that the divine wisdom that's always there for us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's amazing. And one of my favorite stories, because I also teach my clients a lot about self-love. So one of my favorite chapters was chapter 3, Love is Who You Are. Do you mind if I read just a little bit?
Oh, please, please.
It says, friends, this was the angelic message. Friends know that your precious hearts are the gift that you've been waiting for. You no longer have to wait for the moment to arrive to begin to enjoy your life. You have waited for days upon days to begin to live, and the moment is truly now. The gift that this awareness will bring to your life will be the gift of a lifetime. In fact, it is the gift of all your lifetimes, and that gift is love. And this was one of my favorite lines. Love is the essence of your being. Love is what you do, and love is who you are. So many people look to outside sources for love and happiness and really get lost in the thought that they don't have that within themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's right. In fact, I was in a conversation earlier this morning with a client who is really struggling with the work that she's doing as a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's love that causes so much of the illness that we have, or the lack of love, I should say, the denial of love, that mm-hmm. causes so much of the illness that is so pervasive and causes stress and causes emotional and psychological difficulty and ultimately physical problems. So love is the source of healing. Love is the source of everything that animates us.
Well, in that chapter, you say it's up to us to teach. And this is your words, not Spirit's words.
Mm-hmm.
This is Elaine Grohman's words, which I absolutely love. And again, listeners, we're speaking with Elaine Grohman. You can find all of her information on her page at empowerradio.com. But you said it's up to us to teach self-love to our children. Self-love is not selfish, but rather a deep comfort that can be found in goodness. Goodness is not always rewarded, but it can be the building blocks of the foundation of self-regulation, self-awareness, and self-responsibility. And I have to say, Elaine, based upon the chapter that you read at your launch, which was either chapter 26 or chapter 28, when you talked about your son,
yes,
you did that. You have exemplified teaching self-awareness to your children.
You're going to make me cry.
Well, I feel like crying myself. I'm sure you can tell that in my voice.
Yeah.
But you shared that story of the difference that your son made in another boy's life,
yeah,
who was being picked on.
Yeah.
And from my perspective, your son got that not just because of who he is, but who you are.
Yeah.
His mother.
You know, and I learned that from my mother, you know, because I had a handicapped brother. My brother, Brian, who my son Brian is named for, is the one who died when he was 15, and he died of muscular dystrophy. And we were taught by my mother to take care of those who could not take care of themselves. And, you know, so I grew up with that. And interestingly, my husband did too. He had a sister who was profoundly handicapped. So my children never knew my brother, but my children knew my sister-in-law. And she was confined to a wheelchair and was profoundly handicapped. And my children would climb on her lap, and they were fiercely protective of her. And she them. And, you know, it was just a natural part of living for us. And it was so, to my son, it was such an outrage that someone would pick on someone who had special needs. And this young man had special needs that he was protecting.
Mm. But well, and he really did. And if you don't mind, I'm just going to share a little bit more about that chapter.
Please.
You mentioned how the boy's mother noticed and how thankful she was, and how she came to you and shared her delight, and how your son afterwards, you know, noticed the conversation. And, you know, people want to gravitate towards that. And I feel like your book is kind of a manual to help them learn how to tune in because of the examples that you share.
Oh, thank you. I mean, it was, I think what the whole premise of this book really, Terry, is to to help people understand that we have to fix this problem in the world. We can't look to someone else. We have to start in ourselves. Mm-hmm. We have to start in our homes and in our families and in our communities and in our workplaces. And we have to really lead by example. If we don't, there is nothing that's going to change humanity. There's nothing that's going to change civilization. We have to, because we are it. We are it.
And that's the truth. This is all we got in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't come to that place of love and understanding and peace, then what? You know, there's nothing left.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think that we so many times as individuals, we don't want to get involved. We don't want to do this. We don't want to reprimand our children. We want to make everything cohesive. Well, you know, by telling your child the truth and teaching them to be loving is what's going to bring peace to the world in their adult lives, in their children's childhood. And, you know, so it was a good example, really, I think, to share with, it's not that hard to influence someone in a loving way. You just do it. You do it by example.
Well, and you've done such a great job with yours, and you're giving such a great gift to humanity. So one of the other chapters that really, really spoke to me was chapter 12. It's the beautiful and the miraculous. Can I read just another brief piece from there? Live fully by using the love that is your essence. It is the calling card that precedes you, and the warm glow of its presence will linger after your departure from a conversation, an event, and even this lifetime. Let your love be your signature, your guiding light, your peaceful countenance, and your truest gift to all who know you in this life and beyond. And one of the things that I got from that chapter that you really talked about was understanding events. And this chapter kind of spoke to me about compassion as well, trying to look at other people's lives through love. You know, you said not necessarily staying in an abusive relationship, but trying to build compassion and understanding.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, as in my own practice, and you probably do too, Terry, you see people that are so maligned in their thinking, either by being in abusive relationships, being in job situations where they're not honored or they're not respected, and that is abuse. That's just mm-hmm. plain old is abuse. And what we have neglected is to recognize that we have an opportunity and an obligation really to stand up to ourselves, for ourselves rather, mm-hmm. and say, this abuse is not acceptable to me, whether it's in the workplace or wherever it happens to be. Because it's disempowering humanity.
Well, you end that chapter with, there's a great power in a peaceful heart. It's the power that can change everything and can offer us the opportunity to see the beautiful and the miraculous within ourselves. From that place of peace, we can leave behind the crippling legacy of denial, of love, and employ love's vast power that can help us leave our wounds behind. I thought that was beautiful.
Thank you.
That through that power of love and divine connection, we can heal our wounds, but we can also heal the wounds of others.
That's right. You know, and in this time that's happening right now, and this, we are fully already invested in 2012, you know, we're in this time of awakening, you know, and if we really want to heal, we have to heal our emotions. We have to heal the source of the woundings that have precipitated so many illnesses, so much distress, so much depression in our world, and it's all internal. We're always looking for something outside of us, but it all begins within us.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly, in sacred geometry and energy medicine, the workshop is actually called Healing from the Fourth Dimension. And the dimension is the dimension that was discovered by Einstein, and he called it the dimension of time and space. And the dimension of time and space is where our emotions reside. So if we don't heal that time and that space, where our belief systems maybe were a little skewed that caused us to stop really loving ourselves, that has to heal first. And all the systems that have supported things that do not actually support humanity, those have to be looked at and examined and talked about, and then we can begin to make a different choice. And that's what my third book is about.
Well, and I'm looking forward to being in one of your workshops next year. Elaine, we are at the end of our time together today.
Oh, gosh.
This has been absolutely wonderful. It goes by so fast, doesn't it?
It does. It does.
I love to have my guests leave one thought for our listeners. If you could leave one thing today, what would that be?
I would say, look within yourself and love the beauty of your very life so that you can appreciate everything that's around you and everything that all the people within your sphere of your life, and really begin to live with an open and loving heart.
That was beautiful. Thank you so much for being here. Listeners, again, we were talking with Elaine Grohman. You can find all of her information and connection to her workshops and her beautiful book at empowerradio.com. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Terry. Bye-bye.